Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
The General Services Administration holds its second industry day to better understand how to develop the congressionally mandated e-commerce portal. At the same time, GSA is issuing two requests for information, one for suppliers and one for platform providers, seeking more information to go into its strategy. All of these efforts are trying to alleviate a lot of concern and answer several questions about how the approach will work. Ann Rung is the former administrator in the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, now director of Amazon's government business. In one of her first interviews since she left government 18 months ago, Rung tells executive editor Jason Miller why moving to a commercial e-commerce portal can work for government.
We're working with customers like U.S. Air Force in providing them with an option for their micro-purchase spending. So they launched a pilot with us in December 2017 with a select group of government purchase card holders evaluating whether Amazon Business could provide them with greater visibility and transparency into their purchase card spending. It's been a great opportunity for us to learn from our customers.
Is there any details in terms of how's it working so far? Any preliminary trends you're seeing?
The feedback we're getting from Air Force and others is that the analytics is giving them unprecedented transparency into this purchase card spending. When you think about federal customers in particular, these are large decentralized organizations. There's not a lot of transparency into the spending. They don't have easy access to what we often call level three data, but for example, prices paid information. They get reporting from the banks, but it's not often detailed analytics. And so Amazon Business allows, for example, a purchase card administrator to see that spending across 50 different data points across the organization.
One of the reasons initially I thought maybe you're in town is there's a big industry day happening on Thursday at the General Services Administration around the e-commerce portal, something that was in the NDAA. It's commonly referred to as the Amazon Amendment in throughout the community. So maybe talk a little bit about the e-commerce portal. You are going, or you right now your schedule doesn't work out that you are going to go. You're not able to go.
I'm not able to attend this week. We attended the first industry day conference. We have had several conversations with GSA and OMB on the legislation, and we'll continue to engage in conversations with them moving forward. I've been excited about the legislation. I mean, I've been amazed at how it's transformed the conversation. 2 years ago, we weren't talking about an online marketplace. And so I give Chairman Thornberry and his staff a lot of credit for introducing the legislation. You know, I also applaud GSA and OMB for creating these formal and informal channels by which industry can provide input and insight. And we've welcomed the opportunity to talk to GSA and OMB on how Amazon Business works and how government benefits from our solution.
Do you believe that the e-commerce portal is necessary? There's GSA Advantage, there's FedMaw. There's these existing, if you will, online portals that have been developed over the years. And two questions in that, I know. First is, do you think a new one is necessary? And, and what about the old ones?
The beauty of Amazon Business is you don't have to build something new. It's a commercial solution readily available, and tens of thousands of government customers are using it today. Generally, you know, my thoughts on the best solution for this e-commerce portal is, let's use the Amazon approach of customer obsession. Let's start with the customer and work backwards. So the customers in this space are both federal buyers and federal sellers. So let's talk to the customers about the challenges that they have in this space generally, or with solutions that they're using today. What do they need to be more efficient and effective and to provide the best value for the taxpayers? And then let's work backwards from there. And ultimately, that will lead to the solution or solutions that make the most sense. But I wouldn't presuppose what the right solution is today.
When you were at OFPP and at GSA and you looked at things like GSA Advantage and the FedMall, or I think it was called DoD eMall back then, maybe as well. Did you get a sense that they were not meeting needs of people? Like I guess the question is, you're saying don't build something new, but whatever e-commerce portal they decide upon, there will be some new features to it. Amazon can't, if you will, lift and shift to take a cloud discussion and make it federal. Yeah. There'll be some changes that will need to happen, and there's going to be cost in there, whether it's to Amazon or to somebody else or to a bunch of people. Why not just fix what's there, which is GSA Advantage and or eMall? Why have to go look for the commercial solution?
Let's provide options and flexibility to government buyers. And so let's make every solution work to the best extent possible. You know, when I was OFPP administrator, we talked a lot about let's access commercial solutions. We talked about the tech FAR. How do we ensure that we provide a way for government buyers to easily access commercial solutions? The tech FAR was designed to show them how to purchase commercial solutions and how to do so in using commercial best practices. And so Amazon Business, to me, is consistent with all those principles, right, of how do we simplify the space, how do we better access commercial solutions. And it's not meant to necessarily replace, it's just meant to provide more options for government buyers.
One of the things about this idea of, you know, the e-commerce portal is there's a lot of concern in the community about what does it mean for the current laws that are on the books, whether it's Trade Agreements Act or Small Business or Buy American Act, and there's how will that apply? Are the GSA going to look to waive it? Mm-hmm. And if they waive it, what does that mean for other things? Are we creating, you know, a have and a have nots, mm-hmm. right? The haves have to follow and comply, yeah. and the have nots don't. And then what will that mean? Walk me through that you're thinking around all that, because on one hand, as OFPP administrator, this was very, very important to you.
Sure.
But as Amazon business person now, it's not that these aren't important, but there's a different level of importance for you, and which is, as you said, all about the customer, make sure it's innovation, mm-hmm. make sure it's easy, transparent, but maybe not necessarily all about complying with the Trade Agreements Act and the Small Business Act and all these other kind of laws that are on the books. How do you find that balance?
Compliance and convenience of the Amazon marketplace are not mutually exclusive. In fact, I would argue that Amazon Business's marketplace provides greater controls and compliance capabilities because you're using the technologies that Amazon Business has to drive greater compliance. I think you can't control or comply with what you can't see. And without visibility into your spending, it's very hard to comply with the existing regulations. So what Amazon Business does is provide transparency across your organization into your spending. And there are ways to guide buyers to preferred suppliers and preferred sellers and to ensure that you're meeting your requirements. So we see compliance and convenience as going hand in hand here.
One of the things about this e-commerce portal is as you saw with GSA in their initial strategy report, is the rate increasing micro-purchase threshold.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw in the House Armed Services Committee version of the NDA an increase to $25,000 from, yeah. I think it's at $10,000 now.
It's $10,000 for civilian $5,000 DOD.
And they want to raise it, I think, across the board to $25,000. That also brings a lot of concern because almost everything the government buys, generally speaking, is probably going to be under $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're using the micro-purchase threshold, all those compliance issues don't apply anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the supply chain risk. And then there's worries about, are you buying knockoffs or Chinese-made products mm-hmm. that are not? So all of that starts playing into this discussion. So let me start with your initial thoughts on that increase to $25,000.
Look, I supported an increase in the micro-purchase threshold when I was administrator at OFPP. And we're talking about the purchase of commercial products. It's an incredibly inefficient and time-consuming process today. And as I said, we don't have a lot of visibility into the prices paid or who we're purchasing from or how we're making those purchases. And so to me, raising the micro-purchase threshold to $25,000 provides a more efficient means by which you can make those purchases. It provides greater access to a commercial marketplace. It's also, to me, a great means by which small businesses can better reach buyers in a more streamlined fashion. It gives you, again, competitive pricing. I think it's a benefit to the government.